We're really excited to have our longstanding partner and colleague from Bellin Health, Dr. Joe Cuxdorf, joining us today on the podcast. Joe is a doctor of physical therapy, overseeing quality and professional development in orthopedics and sports medicine at Bellin Health, which is now Amplify Health through their recent merger with Gundersen Health. He has an active role in implementing value-based care delivery models to the various risk-bearing patient and employer populations in the system. And we're really excited to hear how Bellin and now Amplify have delivered on value-based MSK care through a lot of different innovative programs. So thank you again, Joe, for joining us today in the podcast.
Hey, Eric, thanks for having me. Excited to go through this.
Yeah. And you know, there are not a lot of value-based specialty leaders in PT and orthopedics, but there's getting to be a growing population of folks like us. I would love to just hear about your journey to value-based care in PT from being a full-time practicing physical therapist to now having a dual role at the health system level.
Sure. My role anyways and my involvement, started with just the understanding that physical therapy is a very important part of value-based musculoskeletal care. We have good literature that shows when you front-end physical therapy for many musculoskeletal conditions, the downstream outcomes and even potentially, efficiencies or cost savings can be realized. So that was first and foremost. And with that knowledge, taking and figuring out how can we front end and how can we get therapy involved systematically in the front end of managing musculoskeletal care. So it really started there. And then this started with what are different ways we can do that, from implementing physical therapy in primary care setting to implementing physical therapy as a front end service, no cost service with our beneficiaries and Bellin First, we're going to talk a little bit more about. And then it was just a systematic process of, being able to do that in an effective way.
Now, as a quick aside, Bellin is located in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've had the pleasure of visiting a few times, and it's always been fun to visit. But one thing I wanted to call out is that as we at Proterra have gotten to know health systems and health plans around the country, consistently it's brought up that Bellin Health, who we're really proud to partner with, has been leading the way in value-based care innovation. And one question I have is, like, why do you think Bellin has been able to be so much on the forefront of value-based innovation, especially, it's a big system, it's got a lot of moving parts, got friction like everyone else does. What's special about Bellin that allows you guys to innovate like, others are
Sure.
not able to?
It's a good question. I don't know that I have a great answer. I can say though it's been embedded in our culture since I've been with Bellin, 15 plus years now. And I can recall administrators that are now retired and gone, they've been talking about this for a really long time. And it's also been this idea of talking the talk and walking the walk and really just being committed to it and figuring it out at all levels throughout the system. And then some of that I think comes from, we're a community-based health organization and we really do care about our communities and our patients. We're vested in them to provide the best quality care. So best quality and value, they go hand in hand. So if that's really what we're all about, then it's our job and our responsibility to figure this out and deliver the highest value care. So the two things really go together and it's really part of, what we do and what our culture is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is pretty fun to hear, like, everywhere we go it's always like, okay, if Bellin's doing it, then that must be working. So you offhand mentioned something that I really want to kind of hone in on. You talked about PTs in the primary care office. Now, embedded services in primary care is not unique, especially when it comes to mental health, but it is more unique in physical with having physical therapy. Can you just walk me through, like, I know you've been part of like clinical delivery of that, but like, tell me about this program and any observations you had about having PT with the primary care office.
Yeah, it really stemmed from there's a push from our primary care, some years ago to do this team-based care. So work towards this team-based care model. And that was about the time that we had this unique opportunity to say, well, let's try putting a physical therapist in, as we call it, an extended care team member, where they're full-time dedicated to the primary care clinicians and the patients that are coming through primary care. And to kind of be a consultant of sorts, to just see those patients. And so we did some piloting early on, and quickly we found out that we can add a lot of value in a lot of different ways. So some small pilots changed to full-time implementation in some of our larger clinics. And essentially what we have is we have physical therapists deployed in primary care clinics where their only responsibility is to be there for the primary care physicians and providers and those patients that come in to do consultations to help manage their care. And it's been really very effective. Our ability to front end the most appropriate musculoskeletal care for patients that have musculoskeletal conditions is greatly magnified when we have primary care and physical therapists interacting together, and where physical therapists bring in a lot of expertise and can unload some of the primary care doctors from doing the things they're really, focused on with the other, list of conditions and issues and comorbidities that patients need. And we can focus on musculoskeletal care and then get them plugged in to the right musculoskeletal care at the right time. The other piece of that is we can demonstrate the value physical therapy can have for a patient right at the point of that primary care that not all patients are aware of, and what we do and what we can actually provide. And so we tend to see that more patients are going to engage then in formal physical therapy if we're actually involved, and they're going to show up for a therapy appointment because they understand the value we can have. On the flip side of, we're also very good at then how do we know somebody that maybe needs to move to go see a specialist, go to orthopedics? Or probably as important, if not more, somebody that's going to be able to self-manage on their own. There's plenty of conditions they're going to get better at their own. So when we kind of put in those three buckets, formal physical therapy, self-management, or moving on to more specialty care and diagnostics, we can really help do that. And I think it's the right care at the right time. And that's where our value really is realized when we're deployed along primary care and some of those other settings.
One thing that is really worth highlighting is that if you're a listener and you work in a value-based organization, like a provider organization, think of the MA kind of delegated risk providers, the ACOs, the clinical networks. Think about the fact that 50% of all adults have some sort of back, neck, or joint pain condition. And where do they go first? To go to the primary care doctor. And what happens is, now I'm an orthopedic surgeon, so I get them when they're referred to me, but even though I see a lot of folks early on in the process too, 3 days of pain, whatever. And what patients will often say is like, I tried PT. And then the primary care doctor or the specialist will be like, well, let's escalate. Let's get an MRI, let's get an injection, let's refer you to a surgeon. But trying PT, quote unquote, could mean they did two exercises. They did two sessions. They did one session they couldn't get in, or they did PT for their shoulder and like they didn't do anything for their knee. And if you have a physical therapist with a primary care doctor, just like you're saying, Joe, like the therapist can go in and say, they didn't really do a knee exercise and there's nothing pressing. Let's just give them some guidance here and let's see how they do. And then we'll deal with the specialist in 6 weeks. And so not only is it an access solver, right? It's also a huge lever for cost savings because you're cutting down at the front all that unnecessary referrals and utilization. And I think that like, are you aware of any other organizations doing that, the embedded PT model?
There's all other organizations that we've consulted with, we've worked with that are working on doing it. So I know there's other organizations out there that are working towards it. I don't know. I'm not aware of any other organizations that are doing it at scale. That it's been scaled up necessarily. And there are definitely things I think for us where it's got to be the right clinic with the right volume for it to kind of make sense in this fee for service world of sorts. But with time, we're working on through virtual options and that kind of thing. Can we be consulted, in different ways? But it's something that's definitely gaining traction. A complement to that, another thing we're seeing definitely nationally is physical therapy embedded in emergency departments. And there's some really good literature. It's paralleled us in primary care of our ability to be effectiveness. And we've done that. We definitely weren't the innovators on that. There's other large health systems out there that have done that for quite a while and have published research on it and that kind of thing. So it's very interesting how you're seeing these things simultaneously kind of occur, deploying therapy in different ways where it can have some, added value and benefit.
You bring up the fee for service aspect. So yes, if you're a captive population that's all risk bearing, then it's very easy to do an analysis of if an embedded PT would work. When you get a mixed population with some value based and some traditional fee for service, the administrator might say, well, we can't do an embedded PT model because we're not getting any money back or savings. Because, but then if you think about it, it's a very powerful retention tool, right? If you have a patient that needs physical therapy and they have to navigate a phone tree to go to your system's physical therapy, or they meet a therapist that can then say, oh yeah, you'd be great for the the Greenwood location or the Oak Street location or whatever it is, right? Then you get them plugged in right away with the right therapist, and then you've got that patient. So guess what? They're a fee-for-service patient. You've got them for their PT, and if they need a surgery or specialty care, you got them, right? And so it's a almost like a marketing tool, right? And so the ROI has got to be crazy high from a cost savings and a revenue generation perspective, no matter how you slice the data.
And I do think that that's a really good point, Eric. You know, in terms of our ability then to direct the care, I think as you're saying, to the services that are most appropriate, our services that are most appropriate is really important. That's probably as much of the value we bring, to the consultative process as it is just the clinical part of it, is the navigating the health system part of it. And really understanding, hey, where can I help plug this person in? Which orthopedic physician is going to be the best? And how do I get them to that? How do I get them scheduled, right? To Bellin, to us. You know, that kind of thing. Or, and there's multiple, examples of that that we can go through. So, I think that's really where you do see, the value. Admittedly, it's hard to measure that sometimes. You know, how do you measure some of those things? And we're still working towards really being able to get a real, definitive measurement. But undoubtedly, a lot of the metrics we do have shows that the potential is there and that we've realized much of that.
If you are a health plan or health system leader and want to stay on the cutting edge front of value-based specialty care delivery, join our mailing list, click the link below, and stay posted with all of our upcoming web-based and in-person educational events. And think about the patient satisfaction and halo effect. So you go to see your primary care doctor, you got some heart issues, you got some headaches, but you also have this back pain. And before you go, you see a physical therapist, and your back's actually, you have a pathway now for your back pain, or you get reassured that you don't need to see a surgeon or whatever. Think about what that patient's going to say to their family, loved one, friends about Bellin or wherever, and how, that those are the kind of experiences that patients say, why would I ever leave? Like, there's no reason to ever leave this
And
place.
anecdotally, we've had that happen. You know, I spent a half day because I enjoy it. I spent a half day up in primary care, a week, and we've heard people say that, that come in that are new to Bellin of this was amazing. You know, the fact that I have this is different than I've ever experienced, and it's really positive for me. And we have collected the satisfaction data, and we kind of stopped at this point because it's so positive. We're not going to learn anything more, and you get the occasional negative things, but it's almost so universally so positive that we feel that good about it. Absolutely.
And then the other stakeholder, right? So we talk about the plan or the system and the value-based organization. You talk about the patient, they talk about the primary care provider, right?
100%.
You have a so my mom's a primary care provider, and she just retired, but like we would always get phone calls from her saying, hey, listen, what do I do with this person who's got XYZ problem? Do they need to go to the hospital? Do they need to get checked in? Do they need evaluation? Do they need to go to PT? Now you've like that's a headache for these primary care doctors that don't have the time, bandwidth, even training to like deal with these problems. Now you've got a physical therapist that's saying, this is a low back pain, it's some low grade sciatica, it's not going anywhere, we're fine, you're good. They don't need any sort of specialty triage. So now as a physical therapist, you not only have an easy button, you have a learning tool to learn on what needs to be taken care of, what doesn't, so that you can do your clinics more effectively as well. So you've hit all three stakeholders with this intervention that like it just seems like a no-brainer for any value-based organization to be
Well,
doing.
absolutely. And it's funny that you end on the primary care doctor because that's somewhat where we began with some of this with the team-based care. The whole idea behind team-based care is how can we free up primary care doctors to do more of what they need to do and unload some of the other work on other specialists and unload some of their administrative burden. And that is a big part of what we looked at. And that's actually been one of the biggest, benefits we've seen is universally primary care wants us there. And when we're not there, they ask, where are we? And what's the problem? The rather it's a great thing. Actually, COVID, it went away for a while with COVID. Things were kind of chaotic there, and we had to stop putting PTs in primary care for a little bit. It was actually the primary care doctors kind of banging their fists if we want them back that really was this to get us going again. So it's definitely been an incredible win for us for sure.
And in Bellin and Green Bay, it's a competitive market. There's multiple health systems for a relatively small population. And guess what happens when a primary care doctor leaves the system, right? You lose every like you lose all that. You have to pay to train to recruit. And again, all these things, like there's a halo effect. And I bet, Joe, just thinking about it, if you took a couple clinics where this embedded model is and maybe one where it's not, and you looked at downstream whatever metric, retention, primary care provider satisfaction, downstream revenue, ancillary, whatever it is, cost savings, I bet you the data will show a very, very clear ROI quantitatively. And so I don't know if some of the system leadership has done that or not, but I bet you it could be measured, and I bet you'd be very compelling because it's like common sense.
Yeah,
Like it really would
I would
help.
agree, and that would be a great, formal project to do. We haven't quite gotten there yet, but we agree. And I think we feel, again, it's anecdotal, strong enough based off kind of the data we have, but it'd be great to actually put that formally out there and actually look at it and study it for sure.
And this is a perfect segue because, if you look at the different modalities for PT access, right? And like we were talking about, PT is primary care for MSK, right? And so if primary care helps, imagine if you never saw a primary care doctor and you just showed up at the hospital with end stage whatever. It's kind of what we're doing in MSK, right? You get ignored and then you have bad arthritis and that's it. We should talk about what you all are doing with employee health because you took that concept, and I don't know if it started in primary care or started in employee health, but regardless, you all do something that's also unheard of and give all of your qualified employees like free physical therapy access, like no questions asked. That to me, that seems very logical, but I'm also biased being in MSK. But tell us about this program that the primary care that the employees get access to.
Yeah, so we call it Bellin First, and it's a part of our benefits that we offer to our employees and their beneficiary and the beneficiaries in the health plan. And for years it actually started outside of Bellin's walls. We have a very strong employer network where we have on-site and near-site services where physical therapy is deployed for their employees, for the different partners we have, the different businesses throughout our region that we have partnerships. And it's been incredibly successful for years. And a lot of those places went to where they were just starting to offer it for free to decrease all the barriers to get patients to a physical therapist early on. They just remove the cost. So employers were covering the cost for their employees to go there. Well, we said to ourselves, there was a push saying, why aren't we doing it? So we did it. We did it a number of years ago, and we've really realized cost savings wise when we've looked downstream at decrease in elective musculoskeletal surgeries year after year. It's been very positive for us. So to date, we have physical therapy and outpatient occupational therapy is at no cost to Bellin beneficiaries, with the whole idea of doing exactly what you said, front ending, getting people to physical therapy as primary care, as part of the primary care musculoskeletal option for them, and it's went really, really well for us.
So let me get this straight. So I'm an employee, I got back pain. If I'm in a normal, whatever, health system employment role, I take my back pain, either I deal with it and just work through it, or I take time off work to go see my primary care doctor, who will probably refer me to physical therapy, or have me see a specialist, or I go see a specialist who will probably refer me to physical therapy. And I then wait for physical therapy and then I pay the copay, so I'll go to one or two session, hit my deductible or copay, and then stop, right? Because it takes time. Or if I'm a Bellin employee, I make an appointment with physical therapy pretty much straight, and say, "Hey, I've got some back pain. Can you help?" And then I just get treated, and I don't have to worry about copays, cost share, deductibles, coverage, whatever. And then if I need to go back, I go back, and that's it. It seems like a very pretty straightforward
It
program.
is. I mean, I'll call out a couple of things to make it work. So number one is decrease the cost barrier for the beneficiary, right? There's no big copay, nothing's going towards a deductible that, they're ending up paying out of pocket, they're paying either way. But then the other, kind of big thing is you have to have the ability to, for the physical therapist to see patients, what we call direct access. So patients have to be able to come in and work without a referral and not have that. In most states, throughout the United States, that's possible. That's actually built into practice acts. The other big part then is, really operationally from the system perspective, you have to have access. If you're out 4 or 6 weeks to get in to see physical therapy, it doesn't work. Somebody that has acute low back pain and they're out of work, they want to get in now, they need to get in now. If they're looking to get into PT and you say, well, you got to wait 4 weeks, it doesn't work nearly as well. And they're looking elsewhere then, right? They're going to go outside of the system to try to get help, even if they need to pay. So when you kind of combine, you know, the decrease the financial burden, improve the access, and then make sure that, you know, your physical therapist have the tools, you know, basically the ability to see these, you know, patients without creating overhead burden of needing referrals and that kind of thing, it really actually works out pretty well and make it streamlines the process. Because, I mean, we get patients that call and say, well, don't I need a referral? Nope, come on in. And like that alone is such a win for the patient. But even then, go back to the doc. You don't want to write a referral. Like, no, I don't even know this patient, or I haven't seen him. You know what I mean? Go in, that kind of thing. So it really helps when we're able to deploy those strategies.
You know, this reminds me. So, like, I still do some, I do clinical work, and I have to say the most frustrating visits I get, patient comes back, says, "Hey doc, you know," I'll say, "how are things going?" Like, "my shoulder hurts." "Okay, still hurts. I saw them a couple months ago." They're like, "I need a new PT script." And I'll say, "Okay, and then what else?" They're like, "No, that's what I need. I need a new PT script." And they took a very valuable spot
Yes.
to just, let alone, yes, they could have done the my chart or whatever, but still, like, they, a lot of patients will still come in just to ask that question, and they wait, they drive in, and you're like, oh my gosh, just, of course, direct access would have fixed that, but they probably didn't know about it. But yeah, it happens a lot. And then, just like we talk about primary care attention, I would imagine you have some anecdotes about employees being like, wow, this is awesome. Like, and again, you don't want to compete for employees. It's a very costly measure that you probably can make the ROI just on that alone from the retention perspective.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, we haven't really looked at it, but undoubtedly our providers value it. And I think it's a huge value that they have this team-based care model that we're a part of to let them do the work that they were here to do and unload all that regulatory burden and some of that, you know, that stuff that they just don't want to deal with. Even and then from a physical therapy perspective, I know it's a big, huge value because it allows a physical therapist to practice in a completely different way, a non-traditional way, and actually really use a lot of the skill set that we have in a novel way and kind of break up the monotony of what would be traditional PT practice. And so we've seen a lot of and then really creative, you know, things come from that of us being able to do other, you know, other things when we're in these consultative kind of roles where we can actually do other, you know, PT tasks, not just musculoskeletal, but otherwise it can be really helpful. So assessing people with fall and balance issues, helping, you know, fit, you know, assistive devices and, you know, that kind of thing. Things that they're going to do, but we can help unload that and we're potentially are even better at it, that kind of thing.
And then for the employees, that access, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, the cost or the they just have it ready, and they know, and they also know that it's there for them if they need it.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we've that access is the, you know, one of the key factors that, you know, I mentioned of one of the key things for this to work. Without access, it kind of falls by the wayside and it doesn't matter. You know, and that's where we've worked with you guys at Proterra to take it a step further and really try to say, okay, we've been doing Bellin first and we've been offering our employees this care on-site brick and mortar traditional model. But we do have in beneficiaries or employees that their schedules don't sync well with outpatient physical therapy schedules or their location. They're 40, 50 plus minutes away, or they're working remote. You know, we have people that are working remote. So we've really looked at trying to go now, how can we offer a virtual offering that can kind of fill in those gaps? And that's where working with you, Proterra Health, we've really tried to do that with a partner to get to a point where now we're able to even expand it further and be more dynamic in what we're able to offer.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're really proud. I mean, for those listening, you know, Proterra partners with Bellin to provide our virtual integrated PT model and really clinical model, physician led, with to their employees. And you know, I think that in the beginning, like with every health system, the first question we get when we talk to a health system is, well, how's this going to impact our in-person PT? And I think you brought this up really nicely because if I was dealing with a shoulder issue or a knee issue or a back issue, I don't have the capacity to go in-person PT at my hospital. Even in my own clinic, I could not go, and there's just not the right scheduling timing to do that. And what we've done is say, okay, well, why don't we get the same high quality program, but in a virtual format? And there's lots of programs that are kind of like high tech, low clinical exercise program, but that's not what the value is when you have a clinical program like ours, and replicating what you guys do at Bellin, where it's like, hey, this is a real physical therapy, this is a real clinical care, real physician visit. And how has the outpatient PT volumes been since we rolled out at Bellin? Has there been an impact? Has it gone down? Has there been some cannibalization, or?
That was what we were worried about. So I'm a physical therapist. Am I, taking, food off my own plate, so to speak, by partnering with, Proterra and doing that? And we did have some concern about it. But we had the hypothesis that they're kind of different populations. The people that are going to use and access brick and mortar are going to be a little bit different than the people that are going to choose virtual care. And so far, that's proven to be true. Our volumes in outpatient physical therapy per Bell and First have continued at their same trajectories they have historically, which has been generally gradually increasing, of course, as our employee base increases and that kind of thing. And then we've seen that, Proterra volumes have this had this nice gradual increase as well. And then when we actually look at the overlap, there's maybe 10 to 20% of patients that actually utilize both. That kind of thing. So it kind of tells us that they're different. And then when we actually just talk to patients, which, we collect a lot of outcomes data from patients in Proterra and on the Bell and First side of things, but when we ask the Proterra people why they chose it because of the exact reasons you mentioned. I can't get to a brick and mortar location. My schedule doesn't allow it. This is incredibly convenient. And so it really helps us kind of round us out in what we're able to offer. And one of the things we did early on, and it's one of the reasons we really explored doing this virtual physical therapy or virtual musculoskeletal model, was we asked patients, hey, if you were offered a virtual care option, would you use it? And we collected data over 1,000 patients on our own patients, and there was a small but significant amount, anywhere from 15 to 20%, that basically said, absolutely, if you offer it, we'll use it. And that was enough for us to say, okay, there's something here. It may not be the majority, but there's a significant minority that we need to be paying attention to. Hence, we want to do this. And then, I think the big part of it you mentioned, Eric, is when we went through the process of doing it, we just weren't set up to do it well as a health system and having the technology.
You mean when you try to do it yourself,
Absolutely.
like
Yes.
you try to roll out your own digital
Early
program?
on, we tried to do it ourselves. We said, okay, how can we do this? And we made a couple attempts, and we realized a number of things. But one is we didn't really have the technology capability at the time to do it well. Two, we didn't have the expertise or necessarily the physical therapist that wanted it. So kind of like patients, some patients want to do virtual care, some patients will want to do brick and mortar. The same exists in the clinician world as well. There are some clinicians that are they're never going to do virtual care ever. And that's actually the vast majority. And then there are ones that are very interested in, in doing this innovation, have been very successful. And we just didn't have that pool of ones that want to do the virtual thing. So we realized we needed a partner with the technology, partner that has the clinicians and the expertise. Hence, Proterra, was a great partner. But then, the other biggest things, hands down, is a partner that quality and value is the core of what they're doing. And that was huge for us. And so we really felt like a clinician-led program uses outcome measures consistently to look at the quality to manage their patients. And those things all came to fruition. I think thus far it's been going really well, and we're really pleased enough that we've expanded now to our other region, the Gunderson region, across all of Amplify, which we're excited to see how that goes forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been awesome for us to partner, and I think it is a very like-minded culture where, like, we're trying to deliver a high quality program, not a quote scalable or high tech. I mean, we have a lot of technology, but it's really about the outcomes, the quality. And the point you make, I think healthcare, like leadership and administrators, I think this is lost on a lot of healthcare leaders. And you brought this point that a lot of providers don't want to do physical virtual care. And there's two reasons for that, right? One is the personal preference. Like, a physical therapist, there's a lot of hands-on component of it. There's a lot of like interaction. And so that there's a preference on doing virtual versus non-virtual. But I think the thing that administrators don't fully appreciate is that doing virtual care is very disruptive to a typical healthcare delivery infrastructure. And we've talked about this, right? Healthcare systems, hospitals, clinics, really good at high throughput, quick care where the patient will wait their turn and the rate limiting step is the provider. So you have all the patients wait and the provider goes through and sees them one by one, whether it's physical therapy, we can do two, three patients at a time when they're doing different modalities and different exercises on the bike and ice, heat, and exercises. To like a physician clinic where the patient's just gonna wait in the waiting room. And so so you have maximum efficiency because the provider is occupied the whole time, right? In virtual care, like if I have a random virtual visit in my clinic, that patient, there's no waiting room for them. They're kind of ready to go, and you have to drop everything, and you can only deal with one patient at a time. So you can't have another patient being roomed, their vitals checked, all stuff. It's just that 20 minutes is blocked for that patient. And I think administrators don't fully appreciate that it's actually very disruptive to scale virtual care when you're in a traditional healthcare setting.
Yeah, and that was part of our when we tried to do it. It was, during, and that's where for myself as a clinician, I recognized I can, this has value. Virtual care is possible. We flipped a bunch of people over to virtual care out of necessity because you had no other options. These people weren't going to come in for multiple reasons. And that's where I realized clinically you could do it with quite a few patients. But you're right. Then as the actual brick and mortar volume came back, to try to flip between these two these two
Really
like
hard.
processes that are different is very challenging and actually creates more resources. It takes more resources to get that whole virtual set up that like in the therapy world, we don't have the kind of support staff. In the primary care, there is support staff that can help, but they're too busy. They got to be doing other things like you're talking about, all these other things, rooming the patients, getting, setting all that up. Then to add like the technology component to this, it's just it is very disruptive. So in a lot of ways, it's nice when the two things kind of work separately and somebody's dedicated to that and their expertise in one area or another versus trying to do this ping pong back and forth.
It takes so long to help somebody reset their password on the
Right.
phone. I mean, that's
Right.
the kind of
Yeah,
stuff that
yeah, yeah.
like, and then you get on, the camera's like
Right.
facing the ceiling or it's facing the foot and you're trying to do an
Well,
exam. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's a lot
I
of
think that
work.
goes back to patient preference, but some of the patients that prefer the virtual stuff are the patients that are going to choose virtual care. And when you try to take this non-virtual care population and force them into a virtual type setting, right, that's where you see a lot of that problem.
Oh
And
yeah.
so that's
I
where
mean,
it kind of it gets sticky really quick. And so it does help to kind of have these two different offerings for two different populations that are very complementary, but yet are somewhat different because they're experts in those areas, and you see it just go a lot smoother for both populations and providers in both areas.
and you know, the pandemic, right? What it did do is normalize telehealth, right? Like you can do telehealth for anything, pretty much, for most things at least, that don't absolutely require physical
Absolutely.
intervention. And so you have people that like, yo, we have 85-year-olds on our program and they know that you can do telehealth. So, you know, as we wrap up, obviously you have been spearheading and helping a lot of initiatives at Bellin in the MSK space. That's like super groundbreaking, super cutting edge, and Bellin is leading the way there. And it's going to be very exciting to see how this new partnership, this new merger with Gunderson goes with Amplify, not only just for the Proterra side, but just in general, all, you know, taking a lot of those programs and dispersing them even broader. You know, one question we always like to ask is like, as you look back on your career to date, what are you most proud of and what are you most excited about for the next steps ahead?
Yeah, it's a big question, a good question. And I would say very honestly, it's what we've been able to do with physical therapy and deploying it in very novel and unique ways. Basically taking therapists, putting it at the top of their practice and deploying them in ways that really help this value-based care. So, I would tell you one of the biggest ones is, putting physical therapy in primary care and figuring out how that works and the true value it has. Putting physical therapists at the forefront of managing musculoskeletal conditions. And that's one of the biggest things I am most proud of, and to see how that continues to grow today into all these other areas we've kind of discussed. And that's one of the things I'm most excited about into the future is how we're going to be able to see that. And I think one of the bigger things that, I'm excited to see how it works, how therapists continue to interact with other providers and other providers interact with therapists and specialists. And I think there's a lot to be said of the multidisciplinary care model. I think that's other piece we talked about it, maybe not, explicitly, but it's when you take these specialists that really complement each other and how we can have them work together to provide the best care possible, it's really, really valuable. And that'll be really interesting to see how we do that virtually and not virtually, and really make it work to provide right care, right time, at the highest quality, at the highest value, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed this. I mean, it's a lot of cool stuff that quite frankly is totally cutting edge from the innovative system Bellin. So thank you, Joe, for joining us, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the time. It was great. Have a good day.